بالله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله نستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسول الله صلى الله تعالى عليه الصلاة والسلام. قال تعالى في قرآن مجيد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بالله الرحمن الرحيم، واتخذوا من مقام إبراهيم مصلى. قال رسول الله صلى الله تعالى عليه الصلاة والسلام: صلاة إماد الدين، فمن أقامها أقام الدين، فمن تركها فقد حدم الدين. او كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام: صدق الله وصدق الرسول، ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. Respected علماء اکرام, my brothers in Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with iman, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made us ummati of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us an easy deen to follow, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us various signs. Qazi Sadaullah Paripati rahmatullah alayhi says that one of the signs that the Kaaba must be the Qibla of the Muslims is the Maqama Ibrahim. Because the Maqama Ibrahim, if we have to calculate from the time of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam right up to now, the footprints of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam are still visible and still preserved, protected by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And such an open sign is not prevalent in any other masjid of standing. If we look at Masjid Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if we look at Masjid Aqsa, the first Qibla, we do not have an open manifest sign like how we have got in the way of Maqama Ibrahim. Respected elders, Maqama Ibrahim, why it is called Maqama Ibrahim and how it came about? One is, it is a stone from Jannah. Secondly, it was a stone upon which Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam stood whilst constructing the Kaaba. Thirdly, it's a stone upon which Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, he put his foot when he came to see his son and daughter-in-law. Fourthly, it is a stone that Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam used to use when he embarked on his conveyance or disembarked. Taking the first opinion, Mujahid etc., Rahmatullah alayhi, they say that Maqama Ibrahim and Hajar Aswad, they came down with Hazrat Adam alayhi salam. Both of them came down when Hazrat Adam alayhi salam was sent out onto earth. These two stones also came down with him. Yes, they go on to say, in the light of the hadith of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that the Maqama Ibrahim also should shine, because we have got a hadith concerning the Hajar Aswad that it was whiter than milk and very bright in color, shining. They say that Maqama Ibrahim also used to shine, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took away its luster. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala maintained the shine of Maqama Ibrahim, then shine should have spread through the east and west. The second opinion, that Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, when he should come to visit his son, on two occasions he came to visit his son Hazrat Ismail alayhi salam. On one occasion, Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, he told his daughter-in-law that you should change the threshold. That way Hazrat Ismail alayhi salam was married to a lady from the Jur'um tribe. In those days the custom was that when the father-in-law came to the house of the daughter-in-law, then in respect of the father-in-law, in honor of the father-in-law, the daughter-in-law should wash his head. This was the custom in those days. The respected elders, that was the mode of action in those days, not in these days. You do not expect the daughter-in-law to wash the head of the father-in-law. Yes, if the father-in-law is incapacitated or something, then the daughter-in-law can wash the head of the father-in-law. So when Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, when he came to visit his son Hazrat Ismail alayhi salam, who was not present, so the daughter-in-law
told Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam that come down and she wants to wash his head. Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam said, no, I have been instructed only to come here and go back. Because most of the time Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, he was in that area, Syria, Iraq, Iran, Turkey, making da'wat and tabligh, calling towards the wahdaniyat, unity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So most of the time he was away. So he said, I do not have the time and opportunity to come down. So what she did, she went and she brought the stone, little realizing that this is the Maqam Ibrahim. She brought the stone and she put it near the conveyance. So what he did, he took one of the right leg and he put it down onto the stone. And he put his head forward. So she washed his head. Then she took the stone and she put it on the left side of the conveyance. So he led this way, he put his left foot on the stone and he led forward, she washed his head. So there were two now footprints, the right footprint and the left footprint. And he proceeded, he went away. Ismail alayhi salam, when he came back, his wife told him, see, your father came and this is what I have done. I have brought the stone and see, his footprints are still on. So Hazrat Ismail alayhi salam, he said that this is very strange because the footprints are lasting. Therefore, let us keep it in the Kaaba. They should keep it in the Kaaba for blessings. For blessings. Respected elders, third opinion. Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, when he should come to visit Hazrat Ismail alayhi salam and his daughter-in-law, then they should bring a stone. This very stone to him again. They should bring a stone to him and he should come down of his conveyance, both feet and the impressions got implanted onto that stone. Now the beauty of this was that every time Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, he put his feet on that stone, then it should sink in. Historians say, Muarikhin say, and Mufassirin say that this his leg should sink into his knees, right up to his knees. Respected elders, later on, when Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam was instructed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to reconstruct the Kaaba, then that very stone was brought. At this time, this opinion is that that stone served as a lift. Hazrat Ismail alayhi salam, he should bring the rocks and the stone and give it to his father, Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam. Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, he should take the rock and automatically that Maqam Ibrahim upon which Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam was standing should rise automatically and he should place the rock. Remember in those days, when Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam reconstructed the Kaaba, it had no ceiling, it had no roof, it had no mezab e rahmat. They had two doors. You will be able to see the second marking when you go there. The doors also on ground level. Now it has been raised. Respected elders, they say that Maqam Ibrahim should go upwards and sideways also. It should move as Ibrahim alayhi salam wanted to place the rock. Thereafter, because of the speciality of that rock, of that stone, they preserved it, they kept it in the Kaaba. Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam was instructed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that call the people towards Hajj. And these ayats are in the Quran al-Kareem, when Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, he called the people towards Hajj. And one of the questions posed by Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam was, how will the people listen? Remember, when you look at the geographical landscape of Makkatul Mukarramah, especially where the Kaaba is, that the Kaaba is in the center, surrounded by mountains, it is in a valley. Respected elders, where the king's palace is and where the walking tunnels are, that is called Jabal al-Qubais. Jabal al-Qubais. So Muarrikhin write, historians write, that Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, he went to the Maqam Ibrahim and stood on it again. And when he stood on it again, calling the people towards Hajj, giving the elan that the people must come for the Hajj of Baytullah, they must come for pilgrimage to the Baytullah. It is stated that that rock elevated, increased and put Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam up to such an extent that it went higher than Jabal al-Qubais. It went higher than Jabal al-Qubais, and very high it went. And from there, Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, he called the people towards Hajj. And in reply, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the ayat of Quran has mentioned that the people will come by foot and they will come by lean animals and by conveyance. In reply to Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam's call, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned that the people will come by foot. Therefore, Hazrat Abdullah ibn Abbas says that his father's wasiyah, his father's last will was that you must make walking hajj, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has used the word they will come by foot first, and the reward of making the walking hajj is far more superior if you are able to do it. So respected elders, so those are the various opinions why the Maqam-e-Ibrahim is called Maqam-e-Ibrahim. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as Fatah Makkah, conquest of Makkah, when he came, then he asked for the key of the Kaaba. When he asked for the key of the Kaaba, the key of the Kaaba was in the hands of Usman bin Talha. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he was moving, making hijrah from Makkah to Mukarramah to Madinah to Munawwara, then he had asked Usman bin Talha. He told, "Oh Usman, give me the key, allow me to enter the Kaaba." So that time Usman bin Talha told him that, "No, we cannot give you the key." Remember, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was preaching Tawheed and Islam. These people were in the dark age of darkness and they were rejecting Tawheed and Islam. So Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him that one day I will get the key from you. One day I will get the key from you. So Usman bin Talha said that at that time, if you have to get the key, the Quraysh by then must have been destroyed and not on the surface of the earth. They must have been humiliated if you are going to get the key. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him that, "Do not be mistaken, Usman bin Talha. Do not be mistaken, Usman. The day I get the key from you, the Quraysh will be an honored people. They'll be dignified people. They'll be respectable people. And they will be those people in control." Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went away, made hijrah. So when he came for Fatah of Makkah, he called Usman bin Talha. So he bring the key now. So Usman bin Talha said, "Yes, I'll bring the key." When he went home, he told his mother had the key, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wants the key. She said, "I'm not giving the key. This key I am not giving to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." So Usman bin Talha said that the conquest of Mecca has taken place. He's got full control over the situation. He can do what he wants with us today. And if you don't give the key, he can come and take the key, and he's got so much power in control, he can execute all of us. So better give the key. So she reluctantly gave him the key. He took the key and he gave it to Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, "Oh Usman, do you remember what I told you? Do you remember what I told you?" He said, "Yes, the Quraysh today are dignified and honored and respected. They are not ruined and they are not destroyed." Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took the key, opened the Kaaba, and he and Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Hazrat Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu was with it. And Sulaim, she also, they went into the Kaaba, the door was closed, and Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he performed salah. And Hazrat Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, at a later stage in his life, he asked Hazrat Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that where did Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam perform salah? At that stage, there were six pillars inside the Kaaba. And Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he performed salah as soon as you open the door and you see two pillars in between those. Hazrat Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he explained to Hazrat Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So if a person has got an opportunity of going into the Kaaba, that is where he should try to go and perform salah inside the Kaaba. Respected elders, thereafter Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam opened the door and he took out the Maqam-e-Ibrahim. He placed it outside the door and he cleaned the Kaaba, broke all the idols, and there was a picture of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, and Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam on that picture was holding a cylinder, and in that cylinder there were arrows of divinity. So Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that, "Woe unto these mushriks. Woe unto these people who ascribe partners to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What need has Ibrahim alayhi salam of these arrows of divinity?" Meaning, Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, Ibrahim means righteous, upright, good character. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala repeatedly, the Quran al-Kareem says, "Wama kana min al-mushrikeen." Ibrahim alayhi salam is not one of those who ascribe partners to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Ibrahim alayhi salam does not require this. This is all false what they're presenting of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam. all that was broken. That's an interesting story of how it was broken, when it was broken, why it was broken, who broke it, why so, etc. Respected elders, Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he came to Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he said that, Ya Rasulullah, that won't you make this Maqam Ibrahim a praying place for us, a station of praying for us? So Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that no, wahi has not come yet. Revelation has not come yet. Then Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu says that on three occasions, on my request, Allah's wahi came very quickly. One was when I requested the Maqam Ibrahim to become Musalla, to become a station of praying. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the ayat which I have recited, that وَاتَّخِذُوا مِن مَقَامِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ مُسَلَّى, that take the place of Maqam Ibrahim as a praying place. The other one, Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, that when he requested that the wives of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam should adopt the code of parda, then the ayat came very quickly. Thirdly, when Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam should decide and end his boycott with his wives, then the ayat came very quickly. Respected elders, then Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, together with Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, they took the Maqam Ibrahim and they placed it. They placed it where today you and I see. Now those days it was just the stone. And the stone, respected elders, is a square. Those of you who have seen it, those of you who have seen it also, you will not know the exact measurements. It is a stone, it is a square, and the measurement is a from your fingertips to your elbow. That's the measurement of it. And the footprints, the depth of it, is about from your fingertips to the end of your palm's length. That is the depth of it. Respected elders, if you see these days, it is very smooth. It is very, very smooth. The reason I will tell you later. During the time of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, there was a flood. And a flood which practically destroyed many areas. And I told you that the water should come from Jannatul Ma'ala, Ma'ala side, and come to Misfala. So when that flood came, the waters came, and the waters took away the Maqam Ibrahim. They dislocated it and took it away to some other place. So respected elders, Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala, who was in Madinatul Munawwara, he was informed about this. So he said, this happened in the 17th Hijri. He said, when I come for Umrah, inshallah I will sort it. Meanwhile, take it and leave it by the door of the Kaaba. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala, who when he came for Umrah, then he saw the situation, assessed the situation. He called many Sahabas were alive. He called them and he said that, who knows exactly where was the place of the Maqam Ibrahim? Because now it was dislocated, it was moved from its original position, so to put it back exactly where it was. So first of all, the name of Muttalib, he stood up, he said that, O Umar, O Amirul Mu'mineen, that I know exactly the place. And I had a premonition that this is going to happen. So this person says, that he took a rope and he measured from the Hajar al-Aswad to the Maqam Ibrahim. So he made one piece like that. Then he took another rope, he measured from the Hajar al-Aswad to the end where you got an area where you go into the Hatim. He measured till there. Then he took another rope, he measured from where you enter the Hatim till the Zamzam. Then he took another rope and he measured from where you enter the Hatim till the Hajar al-Aswad itself. So he had all these various ropes and he had them tied into marked. So Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu asked him that, where are those ropes? He said, they are in a certain place in my house. So Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu told him that, you stay here. Get some of your family members to go to your house and bring those ropes back here. So they brought those ropes from his house and they measured all those, what he was talking about. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu took the Maqam Ibrahim and he placed it there, where it was originally put by Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and up to date it is still in that spot. Now in those days what should happen, that the Maqam Ibrahim, around it was a wooden gate and it had a green cloth over the Maqam Ibrahim, and anybody wanted to make ziyarah, wanted to see the Maqam Ibrahim, should go inside and open it and look at it. And the rulers and the governors and the important personalities during the various rule, Muslim empire rule, respected elders, they should pour Zamzam into the Makaba Ibrahim, the footprints of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, and drink it. And they should take their hand and put it around the footprint of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam. As a result, it became smooth. That is why when you look at it today, it is smooth, absolutely. Because they were putting Zamzam in it and drinking, and they were putting Zamzam, and they were putting their hand around the Makaba Ibrahim and passing it over their hands, over their faces and hands. One more important point, which I forgot. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he gave the key to Usman bin Talha, he told him that we are giving you the key. And at that time, Hazrat Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said, Ya Rasulullah, give us the key. Give our family the key, because our family is also in charge of the water. So give us the key, we'll be in charge of the water and the key. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam maintained silence. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu also said that give the key to us. But Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he gave the key to Talha, Usman bin Talha, saying that we give you the key in the trust of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it will stay in your tribe, in your family, in your khandan, and only a zalim, only a oppressor will take it away from you. Only a zalim, only a oppressor will take it away. From that time, right up to now, up to this time that I am addressing you, that key is in that khandan of the tribe of Usman bin Talha, and no one has got control over that key. The present custodians, rulers, governors, no one. When they want to go inside the Kaaba, they have to go to that very family and they get the key from there. And that very family takes that key and goes personally. They don't give it to the guards, etc., or the king, or anybody, or any dignitary to open the Kaaba. They go themselves. It was so happened that at one stage, everyone was sick, except one small young boy. They had to get him holding that key, and they had to pick him up to go and open that lock. Because they are afraid that if they take the key away from this khandan, they will be classified oppressors according to the hadith of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So no one is touching that key. They say leave it there because they feel safe that we are not oppressors, we haven't taken away the key. Respected elders, in those days, in the Khalifa Abbasi Mahdi, then he decided, over the Makaba Ibrahim, they put silver, then stage by stage they put gold on it. They put it in the casket, then they have got it in the present structure. The Makaba Ibrahim is standing on a rock. This rock has come from 100 kilometers away from Makkatul Mukarramah. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us ability to understand the significance of all these places that we generally visit without even knowing their history. After Tawaf, it is wajib to read two rakat salat behind the Makaba Ibrahim. Now when they say behind the Makaba Ibrahim, and when it is busy, then it doesn't mean now. And alhamdulillah, the South African population understand this. Contrary to some people of some portions of the world, that they insist they want to be behind the Makaba Ibrahim. Meaning, if it's not busy, you go behind the Makaba Ibrahim. Otherwise, you come go behind the Makaba Ibrahim towards the Zamzam side, and as long as you find the Makaba Ibrahim in between you and the Kaaba, then you make your two rakat wajib. That's which Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after he put the Makaba Ibrahim there, when he made his two rakat, he made it so that the Makaba Ibrahim is front, then behind the Makaba Ibrahim is the Kaaba. The two rakat of wajib salat, the person can make it behind the Makaba Ibrahim, immediately behind the Makaba Ibrahim, or far behind, anywhere in the Mataf, anywhere in the Haram, and if he forgets, he can do it in the hotel room. If he forgets, when he comes back to South Africa, he gets still. So there is no hard and fast rule that you have to do it behind the Makaba Ibrahim. I must do it, and irrespective of whether I have to kill someone in the process. Respected elders, give me 2 minutes of your time so I can do the Mizan-e-Rahmat. Behind the Makaba Ibrahim, your dua is accepted. At the Mizan-e-Rahmat, as I told you, in Ibrahim alayhi salam, there was no ceiling, no roof. But the later constructions, they put the Mizab al-Rahmat, the outlet, water outlet pipe. Originally it was of wood, then they had put iron, later copper, then now it is gold. That Mizab al-Rahmat is 6 foot in length. When you look at it, the photograph, or when you are there, it doesn't look so big, but it is actually 6 foot in length, gold plated. Duas are accepted under the Mizab-e Rahmah. At one stage in history, the ruling class had decided during the time of Hajj, they should take the Maqam-e Ibrahim away and they should allow the free flow of Tawaf. In this age also, the present Saudi government at one stage wanted to take the Mizab, wanted to take the Maqam-e Ibrahim away and lift it. But the ulama ikram have stated that the two things to be lifted before the day of judgment will be the Hajr-e Aswad and the Maqam-e Ibrahim. So they are saying, no, we do not want to lift the Maqam-e Ibrahim literally. However, there is a plan which they are trying to do. They want to put a screw under the Maqam-e Ibrahim, that during the busy period, the Maqam-e Ibrahim will rise up, will rise automatically, and also so that they can make tawaf under it, and when the rush is over, they'll bring the Maqam-e Ibrahim down. That is in the, they are toying with that idea. However, we must go, respect the area, love the area, honor the area, make tawaf, so that we do not harm or injure anybody. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to understand these and practice these. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.